Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah. Allah, Allah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله حسنت جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله. All praises is due to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our provider, our sustainer, our cherisher and nourisher, the master of the day of judgment, the owner, initiator and creator of everything. Abundance of peace, blessings and choices, salutations be upon the cause and cream of creation, the prophet of rahmah, the intercessor of the ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who is resting beneath the illuminous dome in Madinatul Munawwara. Arwahuna fida, may our souls be sacrificed at his blessed feet. May peace and blessings be upon his illustrious family and companions, the ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, as well as upon the saints of this ummah. We say marhaba and ahlan wa sahlan bikum to every one of you. And in today's program, we are going to be learning the tawheed. Yes, in regards to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in regards to where is Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, it is a very beautiful topic. In fact, there are some questions that have been asked to the ulama and the scholars, and I will read out those questions and give the answers that the ulama and the scholars had given in the light of Quran Pak and Hadith Mubarakah in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very essential that we listen and we watch this program for the sake and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we could understand this topic, and as well as inshallah azawajal teach it to our children and to others as well. So as per routine, let us begin by reciting Durood e Pak upon the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We would listen to the virtues of reciting so, as well as we will listen to Innati Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yes, we do have some other things in between our program. So let us begin as our beloved Nabi, the Prophet of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has mentioned, Man salla alayya mi'atan kataballahu bayna aynayhi bara'atan minan nifaqi wa bara'atan minan nar wa askanahullahu yawm al-qiyamati ma'ash shuhada. The one who recites durood and salams upon me 100 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write between his eyes that this person is freed from hypocrisy. Allahu Akbar. And he is freed from the hellfire. And on the day of judgment, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect him and raise him amongst the shuhada. Subhanallah. What a beautiful narration this is in regards to excessively and abundantly reciting durood and sending salams upon Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Un par durood jin ko hajar tak kare salam, un par salam jin ko tahiyyat shajar ki hai, un par durood jin ko kase be kasa kahe, un par salam jin ko khabar be khabar ki hai, un par salam jin ko khabar be khabar ki hai. Sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulullah, wa sallam alayka ya sayyidi ya nabi allah. So chale inshallah naati rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunte hain, and we will return day after. Sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Uda jaane ki taba ko humara kab safar hoga, Uda jaane ki taba ko humara kab safar hoga, Allah Uda jaane لگا دیتے ہیں قسمت چاہتے ہیں جس کی زمین بھر میں جگا دیتے ہیں قسمت چاہتے ہیں جس کی زمین بھر میں جگا سمندر میں وہ جس کو چاہتے ہیں اپنے روزے پر بلاتے ہیں وہ جس کو چاہتے ہیں اپنے روزے پر بلاتے ہیں بنے گا جانے کا پھر بہانا زبر میں جگا دیتے ہیں قسمت چاہتے ہیں جس کی زبر میں وہ جس کو چاہتے ہیں اپنے روزے پر بلاتے ہیں میرے
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا سيدي يا نبي الله we were listening to a beautiful and amazing Nati Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all to the beautiful city of Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara aisa ho ki ہماری بھی باری آئے اینڈ وی آل آر ایبل ٹو وزٹ مکہ شریف اینڈ مدینہ المنورہ ان شاء اللہ عز و جل میک دعا اینڈ اسٹرائیو فار دس ڈیئر ویوز اینڈ لسنرز آف مدنی چینل اینڈ دا سوشل میڈیا الحمد للہ رب العالمین سنس وی آر بیک یس آور ٹاپک آف ڈسکشن فار ٹوڈے آر کوسچنز اینڈ آنسرز اباؤٹ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی بینگ فری فرام پلیس دس بک از ایکچولی فاؤنڈ آن دا ویب سائٹ آف دعوت اسلامی اینڈ دا ٹائٹل آف دس بک از وے از Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah azza wa jal, we decided to speak on this topic since it is related to our aqeedah and belief. And if this is 100% correct, then many other things will fall into place. We will find more, enthusiasm in our salah, in our ibadat, in our worshipping. It is all related to how strong is the aqidah and the belief system of a person. So if it is incorrect, or until yesterday or until today, we had some other concept and ideas of where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. In today's program, inshallah azawajal, pay attention to what is being said. If possible, have a book and a pen ready, or maybe perhaps you can download this book and read through it, so that you can strengthen your aqidah and your belief in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some questions which have been posed to the scholars and to the ulama ikram, and the answers that they had given is basically this to the questions. And we're going to be reading out those questions and even giving out the answers what the scholars have mentioned. So question number one is that, how is it to say the one who provides is sitting above? The one who gives my rozi, the one who provides for me is above. And this is such a sentence that unknowingly many people utter the sentence. They mention these words by saying that the man above, by pointing their finger above, they say the man above is my provider. The man above is taking care and putting butter and bread on my table. Allahu Akbar. So how it is to say, what is the ruling on saying the one who provides is sitting above, or the one who does justice is sitting above? Allahu Akbar. So the answer the ulama and the muftiyan ikram have given to this query and this question is that this is a statement of disbelief. Because in the statement, a direction and a place have been affirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sadr al-Sharia, Badr al-Tariqa, Allama Mawlana Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he writes in his book, to affirm a place for Allah azza wa jal is disbelief, simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from place. Saying this, that God is above and we are below, is also a statement of disbelief. So one is not allowed actually to say that the man above, oh, the one who is providing is above and I am below. So firstly, the scholars and the ulama have mentioned that to use the word man, because Allah Azza wa Jal is free from body parts. He sees, but he does not see through the eyes that you and I have. He does not hear like the way you and I hear. So Allah Azza wa Jal is of course free from body parts. He does not have these organs and body parts to see and to hear. But rather, Allah Azza wa Jal is all hearing, all seeing, all knowing. Nothing is hidden from the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as from the knowledge of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Furthermore, this is also a query and a question that came to the scholars, that some people give their children the mindset that Allah is above. Consequently, when such children are lovingly asked, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then immediately they point to the sky. So what is the ruling on teaching them in this way? Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So here, the ulama and the scholars have mentioned that only someone who himself thinks that Allah azza wa jal is above, or the place in which he resides is above, they would go and teach their children such things. Because as parents, we are to be blamed if we have taught this to the children. It is actually due to a lack of Islamic knowledge and understanding of the deen. So generally what happens is that parents, when they want to teach their children about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they would point towards the sky by teaching them that Allah azza wa jal is above. So the scholars here have mentioned that only if parents or those people who teach children such things believe that Allah is above, then of course this is what they are going to teach. However, the scholars have mentioned that believing that Allah Azza wa Jal is above, or believing that He resides in a place, He stays in a specific place, is also disbelief. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is free from direction and place. So do not teach children to point towards the sky, as mentioned, as I had explained this. This is what the scholars have mentioned, that one is not supposed to actually teach his children this type of things. Rather, when your child is born, an infant child, strive hard to make sure that the first words ever uttered by the mouth of your child should be La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Strive for this. Generally, parents would want their children to say maybe Abba, maybe Daddy, maybe Mummy, or maybe, whatever other words we strive, but if only we could strive for this, that the first thing our children ever say should be the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some scholars have mentioned that also try and teach them this verse of the Holy Quran Park in regards to Allah Azza wa Jal, وَنَحْنُ أَقَرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ وَنَحْنُ أَقَرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. The translation of this is that, and we are nearer to them than his jugular vein. We are nearer to them than their jugular vein. Allahu Akbar. In regards to this verse, Sadr al-Afawil, Hazrat Sayyidina Allama Mawlana Na'imuddin Muradabadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, in the commentary of this verse, وَنَحْنُ أَقَرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, he had said that this is an expression of Allah Azza wa Jal's all-encompassing knowledge. It is as though Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, we know the state of a person more than he knows himself. Allahu Akbar. It is as though Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that we know the state of the person more than he knows himself. Subhanallah. So if we could strive and teach our children this verse of the Holy Quran Park, وَنَحْنُ أَقَرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. Allahu Akbar. So wareed is actually a vein in the neck, in the body, which is a very important vein. If that is cut, a person may lose his life. And the scholars have mentioned that it is through that vein blood circulates throughout the rest of the body. So it is a very essential vein. Though other body veins and organs are hidden, but nothing is hidden from the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, other body parts are hidden from each another. Inside the body, one organ does not know about the next, or they cannot see each another. But it does not mean that these things are hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal is aware, and He knows your condition more than you know yourself. Allahu Akbar. So He is closer and nearer to you than your jugular vein. Subhanallah. This is the qurb and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His bondsmen. And there's not one verse, but there are many other verses in the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about being close to His bandas, being near to His servants. Subhanallah. So furthermore, the ulama and the scholars have mentioned that we should not actually, bring this into practice or start believing that Allah Azza wa Jal resides in a place simply because Allah Azza wa Jal is free from direction, He is free from place. Subhanallah. Actually, what have also been mentioned is that most people have learned these things, as I mentioned, due to the lack of knowledge. And secondly, it's because of watching movies, dramas, listening to songs and certain poems that have these statements of disbelief. Although not every Muslim has the knowledge how to identify these statements, but rather they fall for it, and you would hear them humming them all the time. They will be listening to it while they're driving, in the buses, in their homes. It will be playing on loudspeaker. And these statements are statements of kufr, disbelief. A person will lose his iman if he accepts and adheres to what's being sang as a song, or watching a movie, a drama, series, or whatever it may be, and you agree to what's being said. And if that is a statement of kufr, a person would lose his iman. This is what the scholars and the ulama have mentioned, that even if a person has accepted or said this once in a lifetime, that the man above, he provides for me. Astaghfirullah, ma'adullah. This is just some examples what people do say. Then the scholars have written, such a person should renew, he should recite his kalima, he should renew his iman, as well as he should renew his nikah. Allahu Akbar. He has to remarry with his wife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and tawfiq to repent with sincerity in His bargah. May we understand that our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not need a place to sit. Allah Azza wa Jal has created this universe. Nothing is hidden, even the thoughts that run and go past through the minds and the hearts of the people. Allahu Akbar, because He is Alimum Bizati Sudur. The poet has mentioned so beautifully.
Allah واحد يكتا ہے ایک خدا بس تنہا ہے Allah واحد يكتا ہے ایک خدا بس تنہا ہے کوئی نہ اس کا ہمتا ہے کوئی نہ اس کا ہمتا ہے، ایک ہی سب کی سنتا ہے، اللہ 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 بلبل طوطی پروانہ ہر ایک اس کا دیوانہ، بلبل طوطی پروانہ بلبل طوطی پروانہ ہر ایک اس کا دیوانہ، کمری کس کا مستانہ کمری کس کا مستانہ، کون چکوڑ کا جانا نا، اللہ 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 جز میں وہ ہے کل میں وہ رنگ و بوئے گل میں وہ، جز میں وہ ہے کل میں وہ رنگ و بوئے گل میں وہ، افغان بلبل میں وہ افغان بلبل میں وہ نغمات کل کل میں وہ، اللہ 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 مولا دل کا زنگ چھڑا قلب نوری پا جلا، مولا دل کا زنگ چھڑا مولا دل کا زنگ چھڑا قلب نوری پا جلا، دل کو کر دے آئینہ دل کو کر دے آئینہ جس میں چمکے یہ کلمہ، لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ آمنا برسول اللہ، اللہ 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 اللہ
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. So dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, may we develop the mindset not to follow these movies, dramas and serials that we watch, through which these ideas and the concept of thinking that Allah Azza wa Jal is in a place that he is, it affirms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resides above or resides in a specific place. Our aqeedah, the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the aqeedah of every Muslim, the aqeedah and the belief should be that Allah Azza wa Jal is free from direction, He Azza wa Jal is free from place, He does not reside above, below, at the right or at the left. People who say that Allah Azza wa Jal is everywhere, the ulama and the scholars have mentioned that this is also disbelief, to accept and to believe this. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, how this is disbelief and what examples the ulama ikram have given, we would learn that as we go in our program for today, inshallah Azza wa Jal. Let us understand some more questions to understand this topic and subject even more better. Some people have asked that, is it permissible or not to say the following statement to scare someone who carries out evil-sightedness, that A, do not look at a certain thing, do not watch that simply because Allah is watching from above. Oh, Allah is watching from the skies. If you do not use the word above and say, Allah Azza wa Jal is watching from the sky. Control your eyesight. So the ulama and the scholars have mentioned that in Fatawa Alamgiri, it is disbelief to say Allah is watching from the sky or from the Arsh, the divine throne. Instead, the one committing the sin of evil sightedness or any other sin, any other guna which a person is committing and you want to scare him and bring to his attention that Allah is watching, then recite this verse of the Holy Quran, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Did he not know that Allah is watching him? Subhanallah. Did he not know that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching him? So this is better actually for a person to understand and for him to adhere to, that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching. A person does not need to specify a place for him to sit and for him to watch, or for him to be and from there to watch. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal is watching us at all times. We are in the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, and everything in this world, every single thing, every drop of water in the ocean, every particle of sand is in the knowledge and in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is hidden from the knowledge and from the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our creator. So Allah is watching in general. A person does not need to specify a direction for him to watch from, such as the sky or the arsh, the divine throne, etc., etc. So, you know, often this is also a thing, as I mentioned, that people are then, you know, they are reminded that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching, and for them not to commit that specific crime or that guna. Such as for people who do not protect their eyesight, you know, I'm just going to provide few ahadith in relation to the importance of protecting one's sight and lowering the gaze. It has been mentioned that Allama Ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi ta'ala relates that whoever did not protect his eyes from looking at non-mahrams. Who is non-mahram? Those men or women with whom nikah is not forbidden permanently. Nikah and marriage is not forbidden permanently. So he looks at those people that he can marry, of course. And on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pierce and poke those eyes with a kohl stick, an object that is used for the eye cosmetic, or something like a eyeliner, pencil for example, something like that. An object will be poked and pushed into the eye, which will be made of fire. Allahu Akbar. This is the punishment for those people who do not protect their eyesight. At all times it is looking you know, at things, especially at non-mahram women, and they then, you know, satisfy their desires and their nafs by looking at non-mahram women and men. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability to put the guard of Madinatul Munawwara above our eyes. May we protect these great ni'mah and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of eyes. Look at the Holy Quran Park, look at Gumbad-e-Khazra, look at the Holy Kaaba. Protect these eyes from becoming sick physically as well as spiritually by committing sins. Rather, allow these eyes to look at permissible things, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel. One person came, and who is narrating this? Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala li. He narrates that a person came to Hazrat Sayyiduna Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala li, and he said, Huzur, how can I protect my eyes? Give me some advice that it would help me. Allahu Akbar. He mentioned who? Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala li. What a beautiful piece of advice he gives to this person who asked him this question as to how do I protect these eyes. Allahu Akbar. He rahmatullahi ta'ala mentioned that whenever you are about to cast your sight on any haram thing, then instantly try and bring to your own attention that before my eyes is casted at this non-mahram person, there is somebody who is watching me from before. Allah, but who is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. There is somebody who is watching me. A watcher is watching me. That is to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. If only we could develop this habit and this thought that will always or consistently remind us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, we will be saved from many other types of gunas and sins. It is all linked to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, do advise the person who commits many sins that Allah is watching, but do not commit kufr and saying or mentioning the statements of kufr by saying that Allah is watching from above. All those who have done so, as I mentioned, that a person should renew his iman and his nikah as well as per the consensus and of the ulama and the scholars in regards to this. So, what is the ruling? Another question had come. What is the ruling on saying to someone, if someone says, Allah is my support above and you are my support on the earth? As some people would say, that Allah is my support from the skies, from above, and on the earth, you are my support. The answer the ulama has given is that it is disbelief because place and direction are being affirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Urdu they say upar wala. The ulama and the scholars have mentioned upar wala. To say this word is also the statement of kufr. One should not do. Allama Sa'aduddin Taftazani rahmatullahi ta'ala states, Allah is free from being in a place, and since He is free from being in a place, He is also free from directions and free from being above or below. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. And then the other scholars have mentioned that if someone uses the statement in the meaning of elevation or rank or majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking about the virtues and the blessings of Allah azza wa jal, then although we will still declare the statement to be a bad one, and we will still prevent the speaker from saying it. Allahu Akbar. So we will not apply the ruling of disbelief on such a person, but that person will be stopped from using such words to say Allah azza wa jal is above, though he is speaking about the glory of Allah azza wa jal and in regards to the elevation of rank and majesty, but still that person will be stopped and he will not be allowed to use these words for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, in the songs, in the dramas, in the movies, we hear this, that Allah azza wa jal, He is in the masjid, He is inside the Kaaba, He is in the temple or in the church. So this questioner had asked this question in the books, and the scholars have answered this by saying the ruling of luzume kufr applies to the speaker because place has been affirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the statement. As I mentioned, that some Naat Khans as well recite statements like this in their Hamdiya poetry. When they recite Hamd, they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their Hamdiya poetry, and they say such statements that way Allah azza wa jal is specifically at this moment residing, and they specify a place the ulama have mentioned they should repent and renew their faith as well as their nikah if they are married. Allahu Akbar. So a very beautiful explanation, and this is exactly where I wanted to come and to make you understand this even more better as to how can we understand this concept. You know, because common people are generally heard saying Allah resides above, His place is in the sky, and countless people also say Allah is everywhere. Countless people say this. If you ask a child in your home, where is Allah Azza wa Jal, he will say everywhere. Allah Azza wa Jal resides everywhere. So the correct Islamic belief is that Allah Azza wa Jal is free from place. And as far as explanation is concerned, the ulama and the scholars have mentioned that, remember, Allah Azza wa Jal is Qadeem. Qadeem means pre-eternal. Allah Azza wa Jal has existed forever. He was from always and He will always exist. There is no beginning from when, from exactly which point is Allah Azza wa Jal come into existence. And every other thing besides Allah Azza wa Jal and His divine attributes, which are Qadeem, besides that, every other thing such as the sky, the moon, the sun, the stars, the trees, human beings, direction, place, above, below, every other thing except Allah Azza wa Jal and His attributes are hadith, contingent. They have come into existence. Allah Azza wa Jal created them. They never existed before. It is something that came into existence from non-existence. This is to make you understand, right? So the ulama and the scholars have mentioned that since only Allah Azza wa Jal and His divine attributes are Qadeem, they always existed, and everything else except for Allah Azza wa Jal and His attributes are hadith, they have come into existence. So if now if a person says Allah Azza wa Jal is above, then the question would be, then before above was created, where was Allah Azza wa Jal? So when Allah created the above, then He descended to the above. When He created the below, then He descended to the below. When He created the right and the left, then He descended, or then He began to live and stay in those places. Prior to that, where did Allah Azza wa Jal stay and live? So the ulama and the scholars have mentioned that it will become necessary for a person to then believe that these places did not exist before, and then after they had began to exist, after they came into existence from non-existence, now Allah Azza wa Jal resides in those places, which is haram, which is kufr and disbelief. Because the aqeedah and the iman and the faith of a Muslim is that Allah Azza wa Jal is free from place. It is impossible for us to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal then resides in these places, because He does not need any place to reside. We have to believe that bas Allah is watching us. Allah is there. We do not use the word everywhere. Everywhere. Allah Azza wa Jal is here right now. Allah Azza wa Jal is there right now. Allah Azza wa Jal exists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, and we are in the ilm and in the knowledge of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was a little explanation of what the ulama ikram have explained to understand the concept as to where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we were not supposed to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is inside the Holy Kaaba, as people do say this, that I'm going to see Allah Azza wa Jal. We are going to visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the Kaaba, the Holy Kaaba, which we rotate around, is not actually the house in which Allah Azza wa Jal himself resides. And this aqeedah and this belief will actually take one out of the folds of Islam. But rather, it is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which draws us to the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We worship Allah Azza wa Jal. We do not worship the Holy Kaaba. We worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Kaaba is used as a direction for our Qibla. Subhanallah. So this is the iman and the faith of a Muslim, that he believes his Lord, his Creator sustains him. The Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal, is Almighty. He is our sustainer. He is Azza wa Jal, our provider. And we worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-loving, most compassionate, most merciful. And He does not need a place to reside. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, dear viewers on the Subhadini channel, you know, some people insult Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something very, very essential and important, which we're going to be learning right now. That some people say, you know, I had enough of my enemies. Meri dushman kai zyada hai. Aur main se tang aa chuka hoon. Thak gaya hoon bas. You know, I'm really tired of facing my enemies over and again. And the sad thing is that even Allah supports people like that. Some people say this. And whoever had said this, Allahu Akbar. So the questioner had asked as to what is the ruling on such a person who says that the sad thing is that Allah supports such people who are my enemies. The answer is, to say this is disbelief, because the speaker is insulting Allah Azza wa Jal by declaring him to be a supporter of oppressors. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jal is the supporter of those who are oppressors. It's actually a statement of kufr. A person should once again renew his iman, and if he's married, he should renew his nikah. Another questioner had asked, what is the ruling on saying, I don't care if Allah is displeased with me. I am not scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. Once again, the ulama and the scholars have said, this statement consists of deeming the displeasure of Allah Almighty as something minor. And it is also consistent of the aspect of being fearless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. Therefore, the mentioned statement is a statement of disbelief. Sadr al-Sharia, Badr al-Tariqah, Allama Mawlana Mufti Amjad Ali Azbi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali writes, if a person says, for example, one person says to the next person, you know what, do not sin. Why are you committing guna and sins? You're fighting with your parents, you are drinking alcohol, for example. And he rectifies him and corrects him. And that person says, well, I am not scared. Allahu Akbar. Or if the person said, don't you fear Allah? One person told the next person, don't you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the person replies and he says, well, what will he do? What will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to me if I commit this crime? Or if a person says, where is Allah? When one person corrects the next by saying, do not commit this crime and guna, do not commit this sin. And the answer is given by the second person by saying, well, where is Allah? Where is Allah? Azza wa Jal. So the ulama, the scholars have mentioned that all of these responses are statements of disbelief. Allahu Akbar. We should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. You know, there are verses in the Holy Quran that speaks about fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember, if a person had done or said these statements had given these statements, and his response were the words as I mentioned, as the questioners have asked. They are statements of kufr and disbelief. At the same time, we should also educate other people by mentioning or frightening them so that people can reform and rectify and abstain from committing gunas and sins. It is very, very essential for us to have the correct belief for our ibadah to be accepted, for our worship to be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for our du'as and supplications to be answered. Many a times we say we are Muslims, but in our sentences, because we cannot identify every sentence of disbelief, we do not have the knowledge and the ilm of it. Therefore, we utter such sentences whilst fighting, whilst crying, whilst arguing, you know, whilst debating matters without fundamental and basic knowledge, as every other person wants to become a mufti in this day and time, this day and age. Every person feels as if he has taken the contract of having debates. He knows best more than the true scholars and the ulama, and it's upon his shoulders to have this debate and to answer these questions. So you will see via the social media, via newspapers and ads and everywhere, non-ulama and scholars are speaking on these subjects and topics. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and tawfiq to repent, and we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like we're rightfully supposed to fear. Allah says in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah haqqa tuqatihi. O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like he rightfully supposed to be feared. Don't fear him like the way you feel like fearing him. One day we fear him and the next day we do not fear him. One moment we are very emotional, in a very emotional state, and we fear Allah Azza wa Jal, we're reading all our salahs on time, and the next day something then happens to us. You know, one day we are in the spiritual state and the next day we are not in that state anymore. So this back and forth and us committing sins and guna is not the way we're supposed to be fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. Fear him consistently. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal all the time. And this thought that my Rabb is watching me, not from any direction, not from any place, but rather my aqeedah is that bas, I am in the knowledge of my Rabb. He is aware of my condition and he is seeing me at all times. All actions are monitored. If a person has this aqeedah embedded in his heart and in his mind, trust me, he will save himself from many other sins that will lead him to the hellfire. Look at Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, the Imam and the leader of millions of Hanafis throughout the world. He was walking past a place and a person said to him, Ya Imam, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah azza wa jal. As soon as those words left his mouth, the face of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa turned pale. Allahu Akbar. It just suddenly went pale when he heard that man telling him, fear Allah Azza wa Jal. He lowered his head and said, brother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you an excellent reward. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa is making dua for him and said, when a person begins to have pride over his knowledge, at that time he is in need of someone to remind him of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has pride over anything, there should be somebody who should remind him that he should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, this was the beautiful response of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. And if somebody has to correct us about Allah azza wa jal, we tell that person, brother, I got enough fear in my heart, you should fear him. This is our response. Like, we have so much of fear, you know, consistently and continuously in our hearts that we never ever commit any guna and sin. When a person gives you any advice, even if you are right, do not fight back. Do not retaliate and prove your points by arguing and quarreling. Rather, be humble in your opinion. Be humble in your stance, in your grounds. And speak the truth, dear viewers on the Samadhani channel. Speaking the right word and the truth is very, very essential. Furthermore, a person asks a question. What is the ruling on saying, maybe Allah Azza wa Jal forgot to write anything in my destiny? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Such people utter these sentences because of not having a good luck maybe, or the things that they intend to do does not work out for them. The scholars have mentioned saying this is disbelief, because in the statement, a person is insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by declaring him as forgetful. Undoubtedly, Allah azza wa jal is free from forgetting, and any statement that affirms forgetting for Allah azza wa jal is utter kufr and disbelief. You and I can forget, but Allah azza wa jal never ever forgets. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. A questioner had asked then, what is the ruling on saying, who knows when I'll be called? Maybe the Creator has forgotten me. There are some people who live for very long, and since they are not dying due to their age, you know, reaching such old age, and they are still surviving over 100 years, and somebody says, you know what, maybe astaghfirullah, na'udhu billah, ma'adhullah, Allah has forgotten about this person. Saying this is disbelief, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is free from forgetting. It is stated in Bari Shariat, if someone does not get ill or is very old and that person is not dying, saying about him, Allah has forgotten him, is actually clear disbelief. Another thing is that in the Indo-Pak, especially, the word Mia is used a lot. By the name it is mentioned, and especially for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question I had asked, what is the ruling on saying Allah Mia? The phrase Allah Mia is used in Urdu or some other Asian languages, especially in the Indo-Pak. So the answer the scholars have mentioned is that using the word Mia for Allah Azza wa Jal is not allowed. Instead, one should use Allah Pak. He should use the word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal, or Allah Pak in the Urdu language, right? As Ala Hazrat Azim al-Barkat Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala has said that the word Mia has three meanings, two of which are muhal. It is impossible. The word Mia has three meanings, of which two is totally muhal. It is impossible to even use for Allah Azza wa Jal. So the first word is actually master. The first meaning of Mia is master. The second meaning is husband. And the third meaning of Mia is actually used for that person who arranges for fornication to be occurring between two people. The one who arranges for fornication is actually called Mia. So two of which is actually muhal to use for Allah. So this word should not be used. May Allah grant us the ability and tawfiq to fear Him like we are rightfully supposed to fear Him. Furthermore, dear viewers on the Muslim channel, another person asked, if someone becomes distressed and he says because of his tension and stress, how am I supposed to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal hears? Then what is the ruling of such a person? How am I supposed to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is all hearing? So saying this is disbelief, because in the statement, doubt is being expressed over Allah Azza wa Jal being all hearing. There is a doubt and shak that Allah Azza wa Jal is all hearing. And this doubt is utter disbelief. Hypothetically, the statement was uttered during supplication whilst making dua. If a person, you know, makes the statement, how am I supposed to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal accepts supplications? Even then, this meaning is disbelief, because it expresses Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal unrestrictedly does not accept supplications, despite the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran Pak, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبُ لَكُمْ. And your Lord proclaimed, supplicate to me, I will accept it. So Allah Azza wa Jal, being the acceptor of supplications and du'as, ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you ask with the true understanding and aqidah, with the true belief, believing in Allah Azza wa Jal like you're supposed to believe about Him, the knowledge you're supposed to have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to tawheed, having that in order, and then when you supplicate, performing your salah, your namaz, you know, doing the right things as a Muslim, the supplications will definitely be heard by Allah Azza wa Jal in this regard, that it will be answered. But to have a doubt that really Allah Azza wa Jal hears my du'as that I make, I have a doubt because for so many years I'm asking and nothing has happened thus far. Saying this is utter kufr and disbelief. A person should renew his iman in this regard as well. If a distressed person loses his cool and says that Allah is with those who are patient, but I say this all is rubbish, what is the ruling on this? Astaghfirullah. This is clear disbelief as well, because the statement consists of an extremely severe insult to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as a rejection and insult for the following verse of the Holy Quran, Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. Allahu Akbar. So dear viewers and listeners of the Madani channel, from these ayat of the Holy Quran Pak, that we have understood that Allah Azza wa Jal is with those who have sabr and patience. Sabr with your namaz, sabr with your roza, sabr by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabr does not mean that a person says, I have got sabr, I am patient. But with being patient, he always is found complaining. He's always found complaining about his current condition, about his situation, be it of the past or the current situation or in the coming future. So that is not actually sabr. Sabr means when you do not complain about the condition you are in. In fact, learn it from the family of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Place your hardships before their hardships. You do not have the authority and the power to undo your hardships except for what Allah has decreed for you. If Allah wants to remove that hardship from you, He will do it. This is the iman of a belief of a believer. This is the faith of a believer. And you place this in front of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his blessed and beloved family on the plains of Karbala. The sabr and patience that they have demonstrated is beyond our imagination. Yet, having authority and power to overcome that situation, they rather had sabr and patience, knowing that Allah Azza wa Jal is aware of their current situation. We endure little hardship, a pinch of hardship, you know, we go through. For 99 days, everything was fine. It's just that one day something went wrong in the business and we had went through a big loss. We cannot have sabr anymore because we are so used of living a luxurious life, always being fine with everything. Whereas the pious predecessors would embrace hardships just as you and I embrace, you know, good days. As we invite good things to our lives, they would invite hardship to their lives and have sabr over those calamities and adversities and problems in their lives. Unfortunately, we do not develop that mindset, due to which we start complaining and saying these words, you know, I'm tired, it's been 10 years, it's been 15 years, I'm going through this, I'm tired, I cannot take it anymore. And because of being depressed, a person then kills himself, he takes his life with his own hands, he wants to commit suicide. These suicidal attempts only come to mind when a person is totally depressed. So this was just a little advice adding to what the scholars have mentioned regarding sabr. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel and the social media, this was very, very essential and important for us to know where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If ever we had said this, or you know of others who have said this, that Allah azza wa jal is above. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching from the skies. Do not teach our children this, and we should also not believe in this as well. Do not say this even if you do not mean it. The truth of the matter is, as scholars have mentioned, that even the literal meaning of the Holy Quran, Allah is watching, it does not mean that we should take the literal meaning and say, watch as you and I watch with a eye. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla does not need body parts, He does not need an eye, as I mentioned earlier, ears to hear, tongue to speak, hands to hold, legs to walk, place to live. Allah Azza wa Jalla is free from space, He is free from place, He is free from directions. He is free from all these things which are hadith, contingent. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is Qadeem, He always existed and He will always exist. Everything will come to an end. Kullu man alayha fan. Everything in this world will come to an end. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Kash, we understand and we practice upon these Madani pearls which we have heard. We have come to the end of this program. We say shukran to the viewers and listeners of Madani Channel and the social media. For those who have been watching us of the Facebook page as well as the YouTube channel, we say marhaba, marhaba. Join us tomorrow as well for another fantastic episode of this program called The Early Echo. Until then, stay good, be good, do good. And remember, wherever you are, I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم
الله الله start your day with remembrance of Allah start your day with remembrance of Allah